You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Can you speak on the legal implications involved in retroactively reinstating citizenships for these affected individuals?
The legal implications are simply that the 5,000 or so Samoans who were born between 1924 to 1949 will now be given New Zealand citizenship, which was denied to them through the 1982 Act. So they will be essentially be given those entitlements that all New Zealand citizens have, which the Green Party and many other folks argue they should have had it not been for the 1982 Act, which was motivated by racist beliefs against Samoans not being entitled or not being deserving of New Zealand citizenship.
Given the historical context of this bill, how do you foresee it influencing future discussions of Pacific rights and citizenship in New Zealand?
That's a really important question. I'm really encouraged and inspired by the movement to pass this bill. I'm seeing a lot of Samoans really engaging with the political and the parliamentary process because of the injustice that was done almost, 40 years ago. So it's encouraging in terms of getting our people to engage with the process. So it's influencing our rights and our societies in that positive way. I think something to also take note of, though, is how we're seeing the New Zealand National Party oppose the bill in the first reading. And the readings that, and the reasons that they gave for their for voting against the bill, I think, were nonsensical and disingenuous. But for us to take note that the New Zealand National Party's racist agenda against Māori is very much being transferred to Pacific causes. So we have to understand that the National Party is not a party which respects Pacific peoples and respects our rights. And even though the New Zealand ACT Party and New Zealand First Party also voted in favour of the Act, I wouldn't take that as an encouraging sign or an indication of their support of Pacific peoples, because we see what this coalition is doing in a broader sense in terms of attacking the rights of Māori under their Te Tiki o Waitangi, and also their wider reforms, the economic and social reforms, which will have massively detrimental impacts on Pacific people's rights.
Although the bill has passed its first reading, what further obstacles might it encounter during the legislative process?
So it's clear from the first reading that there is a majority, especially if ACT and the New Zealand First Party continue to vote in favour of the bill, because it was only with their support that the first reading, that the bill was able to pass its first reading. So as long as that support is maintained, there won't be any technical difficulties or obstacles in actually getting the bill passed into legislation. I think it's just a matter of advocates keeping up public awareness about the bill and Pacific peoples mobilising around this cause.
I've also read your recent article on a tiriti-based constitution following the recent Designing Our Constitution conference. What specific legal mechanisms are necessary for successful tiriti-based constitutional transformation?
Yes, constitutional transformation is a very bold but also very necessary process of realising, first and foremost, that the constitutional arrangements of the current New Zealand state are illegitimate because they violate the founding document of this country, which is Te Tiriti o Waitangi, which guarantees Māori the right to Te Aorangi Tiritanga, or self-determination and sovereignty. So it's quite a transformative process that requires broad consensus amongst folks in Aotearoa New Zealand. So not just Māori, but Tauiwi or settlers. So there needs to be that consensus and that push and support from Tauiwi, including Pacific Tauiwi, to ensure that the process of constitutional transformation is understood to be necessary and important. So it's not an overnight process. It's not something that can be brought about just through legislation or through a case decision. It's a gradual process of ensuring that power and resources are redistributed to Māori in accordance with Te Aorangi Tiritanga and Te Tiriti o Waitangi.
Can you speak on the importance of strengthening connections between Pacific Te Iwi and Māori in such a framework?
Yeah, so the important thing to note is that colonisation has done real harm to the connections between Pacific Te Iwi and Māori. And Moana Jackson spoke about this in terms of how Māori and Pacific were once understood to be whanaunga, understood to be indigenous peoples of the Pacific Ocean or Te Moana Nui Akiwa. For Polynesians specifically, that we descend from the same homeland of Hawaii. But through colonization, through violent processes of genocide and also land theft and indoctrination by European powers, those connections have been obscured. Where in the past, any kind of relationship between indigenous peoples of the Pacific or Te Moana Nui Akiwa would have been respected, our sovereignties would have been acknowledged by all. But because of what the Crown and what colonization has done, we've been separated. There's been strains between those sacred ties. So in order for Tiriti-based constitutional transformation to come about, there needs to be that re-strengthening. There needs to be conversations, that collective remembering of those ties that have existed since before colonization, before contact with European powers. So making sure that our solidarity is linked in those sacred whakapapa or genealogical connections, which have been put under strain, but they still exist. So that's a really important step for Pacific peoples to follow, us to acknowledge that our connections, our solidarity, our loyalty is first and foremost to Māori in their struggle for Tinoranga Tiritanga rather than the Crown and the settler government that exists in New Zealand today.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.